Welcome to episode 490 of Fly Away. Over the past few years, we've been reminded time and again how much the world relies on travel. From supporting local economies to learning about new cultures, the experience that travel provides helps to make our world smaller and bring us closer together. Here at Outlander Travel, we've been proud to be a small part of bringing that to you through our weekly podcast. My name is George, and this week I'm joined by fellow Outlander travel agents Elizabeth, Sandy, and Donna. Back in January, the world of cruising changed a little with a brand new icon of the seas from Royal Caribbean. Although she has been sailing for a few months now, we haven't had a chance to talk to Elizabeth yet about her experiences on board a pre-inaugural sailing back then. So we're inviting her to join us tonight to share her experiences. So let's get started.
Hi, guys.
This is the big one.
Yeah. Well, you know.
In more than one way.
Yes. It's been a little while. There was so much buzz about it. And it's been a little while since she started sailing. So I figured we'd talk about her again. Why not?
Yeah.
It's never too late.
Well, I haven't really heard about her from you yet, so I'm excited.
So. Well, I've been talking about her a lot. So, yeah.
Where have I been?
Happy to answer any questions. What you got?
Well, what kind of room did you stay in?
We were in you just went right off script, didn't you? You're like, I'm gonna look at all these bullet points and go, nope.
Right
not
to the bottom.
Talk about
those. Is that the bottom?
Yeah. So we were in a Surfside family suite, which actually is a new suite type. I shouldn't say suite. We were in an infinite balcony. I probably should look this up to get the name exactly right, but basically it's a family room. It's not a suite. It doesn't have suite level benefits. It's not part of the suite neighborhood, but it is a larger than standard room. And it does have the new infinity balcony that they borrowed from Celebrity, their sister brand.
I really like that.
I love it. I am a big fan of the infinity balcony. And I know there are a lot of people who aren't, and I don't understand them. I would try, you know, normally I try to walk a mile in somebody else's moccasins. And I'm like, I see how you feel, you know, why you feel that way, but I don't get it at all. I mean, to me, having that extra room, I love a balcony, don't get me wrong, but having the extra room inside my stateroom, so if it does rain, I still have that room. I can still go out on it and I don't have to wait for it to dry off after the rain. Cause even if it only rains for a little bit, your balcony is wet for several hours. You don't want to sit out there. So to me, having that space, and it's still, I mean, even when it's inside, even when you don't have the window down, it still behaves as a mock balcony. It has different flooring. So it seems like almost like a patio, maybe, and kind of different furniture. And it's nice furniture, too. So it's not those like metal scrapey lounge chairs. They're like these nicer wicker chairs. And overall, an icon of the seas, and we can talk about this, I think all of the furniture is just upgraded a little bit. It's been plussed out. It's almost like Royal Caribbean and Celebrity had a baby in all the good ways.
A really big baby.
Yes, a really, really big baby. And then the other feature to this room is that it has a split bathroom with bunk beds. So borrowing from a competitor, as far as the split bathrooms go, definitely a great idea. The showers are large, but the space in that bathroom then is sort of compromised because of that. So it was difficult for, there were three of us staying in the room together, three adult women, not related to each other. And so, you know, changing in that room was kind of, you know, difficult, but there were privacy curtains. So you could change on the balcony. You could put the blinds down if you were in port, and close the, blackout curtain. And I can attest it's pitch black in there if you forget to turn the light on and you close those. There's also a curtain by the bunk bed. So there is a little bit of room in that room sort of turns into like a little mini kids room, and you could you had a little more room to change in there as well.
That was something I wanted to ask about the balcony, if there was any kind of like divider, so if somebody wanted to be sitting out there with the window open but like someone didn't want that and they're sitting in the cabin, so there's like a curtain.
Yeah, there's a curtain, and it's a thick curtain. We didn't actually test it with the window down to see if it would get like sucked out like a shower curtain would. I should have done that, actually. I didn't think about it. It is a very heavy curtain, so maybe it would work. But no, I think that if you do open the balcony, then it's open for everyone. But again, this room is designed for families. So basically mom and dad, you know, get to make the decision on it. And it, everything's push button. So your kids will enjoy playing with the, you know, up and down of the blinds and up and down of the window and all of that. But everything's motorized. So nothing is, you know, you don't have to lift a heavy window or pull a heavy window down or anything like that. It's all motorized.
Cool.
So let's go back to the beginning. You walk on the ship. what's your first impressions and how does it compare to an Oasis class?
So, you know, I have a soft spot for Oasis class, and I think you do too, George, right?
I do, yeah.
Yeah, yeah. I was really expecting this ship to be just sort of an amplified Oasis class, but it really is something different. However, I also felt very much at home. So I could go to Sorrento's and get my traditional, I just boarded the ship, I want a couple of slices of delicious pizza. There is a pub in the promenade there. But the main thing you see when you walk in is the huge pearl area, which has basically a piece of art that is also the entrance to a lounge bar area, cafe area even. The size of the ship does seem much larger than Oasis class. Yeah, I mean, it does. And if you're listening going, well, I already thought Oasis class was ridiculously large. I don't know how to make you feel better about this because it definitely, I felt like I had more room, but I didn't feel like it was so big that I couldn't see the other side of the ship. We did do, several people that I was traveling with. This was a pre-inaugural, so it was invitation only, and it was all travel trade and, investors and people like that. And so several of my, travel trade colleagues did little videos, like time-lapse videos of them walking from the back cabins, the aft cabins, all the way to the forward cabins. So not the public space as much, but through the private hallway. And depending on how long your legs were and how fit you were, it was taking anywhere between 3 minutes and 4.5 minutes to make that walk. So it's significant. I mean, that's a long way
if you walk.
Yeah. But you don't feel like you're always walking that. I mean, we'd felt it because we were touring cabins. And of course, they want to show you the cabins that are aft facing. And then they want to show you the cabins that are in the suite neighborhood.
So up the stairs, down the stairs,
to the front, to the back. But, you know, do we not have midship cabins to look at? But the public areas are a little bit more contained. So like if you're walking through Central Park, it doesn't take you 4 minutes to cross. You know, that is a smaller area. So each neighborhood is a little bit more manageable. So generally I would, in order to trick my brain, if I had to go, like we were aft and if we had to go forward, then I would go to the promenade and walk through the promenade. And it didn't seem as far because then you had shops to look at and music playing and everything. Whereas in the hallway, it's just like door, 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 door. And it just seems really long. Mm-hmm. So. But other than that, it has all of the things that you would expect from a Royal Caribbean, you know, the artwork, there's a couple of interesting statues there in the lobby, the shops, some of it is very consistent. The schooner bar is there. So you get some of your old faithfuls along with the new stuff as well. So
on my last cruise on Odyssey, one of the biggest pain points for us was elevators. And I've heard that Icon has some really cool high-tech elevators.
It's the best. You know, I don't even know if I can explain what a difference it makes. Because, you know, we got, when we boarded, we were like, ooh, smart elevators, cool. And then you realize as you move through your trip how much of a difference that makes. I never had to wait more than a minute for an elevator. And I think only once was I on an elevator that it was even close to full. And I don't think it was really full. I think my introvert self, along with other people who were slightly intoxicated, was making me feel like it was full. You know, I just felt like it was a bit much on that elevator.
So did you find that was with the beginning when basically everybody's trying to pull the same elevators to get to their floors and everything?
It's still no lines. And okay. After shows, you know, people dump out of the theater and go to then the lines were minimal. First of all, there's so much more room at the elevator banks. So there's 12 elevators in each elevator area. And it's a huge space. So there's a lot of space to stand. There's I think 6 keypads, maybe 8 keypads, where you can put in the floor that you're going to. So with a smart elevator, just in case you've not experienced this before, you choose your floor before you get on the elevator. So there are no buttons inside the elevator. All the buttons are on the outside. So you say that you're going to deck 15, and then it says, go to elevator B. And then the next person comes up and they say they're going to deck 15. And so it's smart enough to know, oh, you should also go to B. But then the next person comes up and they're going to deck 9. Oh, you should go to C. But actually, it won't go to C because A, B, C are in one little area, D, E, F are in another. So usually it was only one elevator in the bank at a time that was sort of assigned out. I never felt like there were people waiting for two elevators right in the same space. So as someone who really doesn't like other people, it was fabulous. You know, I didn't feel like I was getting sneezed on. I didn't feel like people were bumping me, and there was no way to do the Buddy the Elf thing where you can push all the buttons because you can only push one floor and then it assigns you. So you can sit there, you can push another floor, and it's just going to assign you a bunch of different elevators. But eventually, you know, you're only ruining, you're not having any fun yourself really. So we'll see. And supposedly they use AI. So they also will pay attention and say, oh, at 5 o'clock, the elevators are always busy. And so like, they'll take that into account when they're assigning elevators as the cruises continue. So the longer the ship is running, the smarter the elevators will get.
So when it's ready to like take over the world, it'll be able to calculate how to get as many people as possible like stuck in the elevator.
Right. And it'll do it in a very efficient way. The thing that I was sad about is that the piano player, he is still there. So if you've ever been on an Oasis class ship, the piano player is in the elevators, a surprise, like it opens up and there's a piano player and you get in, you got the piano player. He was there, but he plays in the lobby area. There's not, because the elevator is enclosed, I don't know if it's because it's not a glass elevator or because it's too cramped. Mm-hmm. Some of the elevators are bigger than others, but I think they just opted to have him play out in the lobby area, the elevator bank area. And there's a lot of space. Like the elevator banks are in the center and then the stairs are beside those and then your cabins. So if you book a cabin that's right by the elevators and you're worried about, people running up and down the stairs, there's a lot of distance there. The only noise you would have is people passing by your room to get to their rooms. So
that's cool.
Yeah. Thank you for bringing that up. Cause I didn't put a bullet point about that, but it's definitely a selling point.
Yeah, I watched a couple of videos and everybody that recorded was amazed at how much better the elevator experience was.
So much better.
That's always a good thing.
Yeah, and everyone will also tell you that it will take you 7 days to get used to the idea that you don't have to push buttons when you get on the elevator. And the other thing is when you have had a drink or two, you need to be sure you're paying attention because, we'd be chatting and we'd push, our floor and then we'd be talking to each other and we'd realize we never saw the letter that was assigned to us. So, pay attention. You got to be focused.
Have at least somebody in your group.
Somebody needs to
assign somebody at the beginning of the night.
So when it comes to size, this is bigger than big.
The biggest.
We always hear from people that, what ship are you going on? And you tell them, how many is that hold? And, oh, I don't know, 6,000. And they're like amazed that you'd want to be on there with that many other people. But it always seems like the more people on a bigger ship, it just naturally spaces them out. Did this feel super crowded?
It didn't. Full disclosure, it was not at capacity. When they first roll out a ship, they do not book it to capacity because they want to give a chance for the staff to get used to things. But even with that, there were a few pain points for crowds where you would notice, like right when you're boarding, everybody boards and dumps into this lobby with this huge art piece. So of course, everybody is there taking pictures. And so that felt a little congested, but then it broke up, right before or after the aqueduct is actually not a very big space, all things considered. And so there's a lot to do there. There's a couple of restaurants and beautiful bars, including one that has caffeinated alcoholic beverages, just in case you need more than one vice at a time. And the Overlook, which is just beautiful. And it's also right next to Coastal Cafe, Coastal Kitchen, which is the suite restaurant. So a pretty busy area, but it would get crowded and then it would thin out and then we'd get crowded, it would thin out. So I never felt like it was like, this is just like crowded all the time. And I've always felt like that. I didn't wait online for pizza. I didn't wait online to eat anywhere. Anywhere I wanted to go, that if they did have like a delay, there was one place where they were giving out buzzers, pagers. So, they were making cheese curds and hot dogs or whatever. So if it wasn't ready, when you ordered it, which it usually wasn't, you got a buzzer to come back and get it. So you didn't have to just stand there waiting around. And the buffet area is the new trend of, basically like food trucks or food stations where you it's still a buffet, but you have different areas that you can go to so that it spreads it out a little bit. And it is like a rather large area. Yeah.
Like a food hall type thing.
Yeah. A food hall is probably the better way to think of it with, and all the salads are on one island and then all the grill is on another. And so it's not one long line like the old school buffets. I still didn't love it. I still did feel like it was a little crowded and it did, make me a little nervous, but there were some quieter areas of it. If you knew where to go, to go sit down, I definitely like, when you're getting ready to go to Coco K, depending on the time of day, because everybody sort of sleeps in a little bit that morning. So it's good to be an early riser for a lot of reasons. And that's one of them is to be able to eat at the buffet and get out to the island before everybody else does. So, but I will also say, since I'm talking about the island, along with the smart elevators, they've installed escalators for disembarkation at port. So if you're getting off the ship at a port, you don't take the elevator, you take an escalator from the promenade down. And wow. It moves. So you're never waiting. You're literally getting on the escalator and then go. It's delightful.
I think they have that on the Wonder. I know I've done it on one of the ships. So maybe it was the Wonder. But anyway.
Well, I have never done it before ever on any ship. And I have been on the Wonder. So unless they've installed it, in the last year or so.
Well, I've only been on the inaugural of the Wonder, so maybe I'm thinking of a different ship, but I definitely have done it before and I haven't been on the Icon yet. So there's that. What about the pools? Did you feel like those were crowded? I know you were only half capacity, but.
Yeah. And of course we were working, right? So, I mentioned that we're seeing all these staterooms. That's not something you're going to do on your vacation. Mm-hmm. So, we were attending meetings, we were touring staterooms. So, I think that the pools will get crowded. The Hideaway area has that really cool pool that's very Instagrammable. The infinity pool overlooking the back that's hanging over the Surfside area. I don't know how that is actually going to function as a real pool. I just can't imagine because it's also supposed to be the party area of the ship. So we're going to take this really unique pool that's got glass all around it with a bar and a DJ and 1,000 of your closest friends. Maybe it won't turn into a disgusting bowl of people soup, but I don't know. I suspect that is not an area as pretty as it is. It's like, I would make sure that I went early in the morning before anybody else got there. And then I'd get the heck out of there. The bar was really fun. I went to the bar at night, but and there were people in the pool then. And that bar is beautiful. It's overlooking the aft of the ship. So of course you get a great sunset. Definitely recommend going back there, but I think that these pools, there are more pools. I mean, there's seven pools, including the first pool bar at sea, Swim and Tonic. So, but even that pool isn't very big.
How has there never been another pool bar at sea?
they're finally getting wise to all those all inclusives and they want to, capitalize.
There may be some safety issues with it. I mean, as far as if the ship is getting any movement, then that could be a little, if you get slammed up against a bar, but I don't know. I don't think that's a huge worry, especially with a ship like this. But yeah, it is a little odd that they've never had one.
Yeah.
Well, they do now.
They do now. And with a clever name, Swim and Tonic.
Okay, so since you went for a naming ceremony, Why don't you tell us a little bit about the, is this the official term, icon of the icon?
Yeah, I don't think they want to call him a godfather. I think that's the wrong connotation.
I was wondering what they were going to call him.
I don't know. They never said the word godfather. I did hear a couple of people say the word godparent, but I did hear more often icon of the icon. They chose Leo Messi, who plays for Miami now, probably considered one of the best soccer players in the world. I think that's kind of hard to argue. Certainly one of the most famous. And they asked him to christen the ship. So I think they were looking for something iconic, someone who was iconic, and also something that was iconic. I think that, you know, soccer is playing a larger and larger role even for North Americans. It's always been a global sport. But North America is really in the last 30 years, really catching on. And so the whole team was on board, but he was the actual godparent, person who christened the ship. It was great. He was very humble, at least seemed humble, great smile. He did his whole blessing in Spanish. So that was also the first time that I had never seen that, where they allowed somebody to use a non-English language to christen the ship. So it was great. He felt very comfortable. They actually, to trigger the champagne bottle hitting the ship, he set a soccer ball on this little tee, and that triggered the champagne bottle to go. And I thought one of the coolest things actually was as they were doing the procession into the, usually there's this godmother procession where all of the godmother and then any other bigwigs, the captain, all that, come in together and in sort of a procession, hence the name. And they kicked off the whole thing, pun intended, with a little video of crew members playing soccer, you know, kicking a soccer ball around. And so very good, you know, like super skills. These kids, you know, these people obviously love soccer. And they had a crew member actually kick the ball out and, you know, dribble the ball out to the stage. So really involving the crew in that naming ceremony as well. It was very exciting. And they also, instead of having the traditional bagpipers, they brought in a band from Scotland called the Red Hot Chili Pipers. And it was like three pipers and a bass and a guitar and drums. So it wasn't nearly the force of a bagpipe crew that you usually get with a christening ceremony, which is nice since it was inside. I'm sure everybody who was in that room greatly appreciated that. So very great moment. I'm just a geek for naming ceremonies. Some people would call them boring, but I love pomp and circumstance. It just makes me happy.
So. Did you see Rover?
I saw her from a distance.
No belly rubs.
No, I didn't get to give her any belly rubs. I have many colleagues who got to see. She was playing at Castaway. Castaway. She's playing at Coco Cay. Sorry. And so one of our colleagues got a picture of Rover with her and with her nose all covered in sand, where she'd clearly been splashing and playing in the surf. And so Rover is really a beautiful golden retriever. And I mean, all golden retrievers are beautiful, but she is truly just a really beautiful dog. She's about 6 months old at the christening, so obviously she's getting older. And I didn't know this, but apparently the story is that Michael Bailey was they were throwing around ideas of how to make the ultimate family townhouse truly an ultimate family townhouse. He was like, why don't we have a dog? And of course, there's lots of reasons why that's a bad idea. But they were like, but I don't hate the idea. And so the idea of a ship dog, a chief dog officer, came up.
So the dog doesn't come with that cabin though, right?
No. But that was actually part of they were like worried that there would be misunderstandings, that people mm-hmm. would want to take Rover home with them. And frankly, there were misunderstandings anyway. I would have taken Rover home with me. Yeah. So
be like, this is my dog. I don't know.
Yes, what you're talking about.
But also you're talking, you know, kids and too many people getting in its face, and you know. Well, I can see that being an issue.
Yeah, she does have a full-time handler. And I do believe that Sweet Guests have appointment times with Rover, like a little play date with Rover. So if you book a suite, then that's something your genie can arrange for you. They are very careful about, like, she's not around all the time. She has her dog things to do. She has her officer duties. But she gets plenty of exercise. And when she's out and about, there was never a line forming. Like, it wasn't like, okay, like a character at Disney World where they're like, okay, stand right here and you can get your picture with Rover. It was very much a serendipitous kind of thing. And one of my colleagues said that she saw her from a deck up and she ran down the stairs and by then she was already gone. So you have to be in the right place at the right time. I think on a 1 week cruise, you have a little bit more chances of getting to see her. They did bring her out on stage in one of our, one of our meetings so that everybody could say that we at least saw her, but she's just so cool. And she does have a full-time handler who's with her at all times.
So. That's a cool job.
Yeah.
That would be awesome.
Yep.
Nice. So let's talk about our favorite subject, which is always food. Tons of restaurants, but I know in a short sailing, you definitely didn't get to experience them all. So where did you eat and what did you think?
So I ate in the main dining room, but I don't want to say that I didn't have a typical meal because the night that I ate in the main dining room, which was the first night, was the naming ceremony night. And so it was a special meal. So there was surf and turf. That's not something that you normally get in a main dining room. And it was good. There were some irregularities to it, but again, new ship. So I have faith that that'll be corrected. The second night got to eat at Pier 7, which is a specialty dining restaurant, a new restaurant to the Royal Caribbean fleet. It's in the Surfside neighborhood and it is family friendly, but it's kind of a, Calamexi kind of restaurant. So tacos and burritos and quesadillas and a few other sort of more Mexican inspired dishes. Our waiter actually, offered us tequila shots at the end. I'm not sure that every mom and dad gets that, but it was kind of nice. We actually did not partake, believe it or not. Actually, that area has a bar that is called the Mommy and Me Bar, where you can order an adult drink and your kid can order a little mocktail and a little Capri Sun kind of drink pouch. So kind of fun area. But the food at Pier 7 was really excellent. We had a very good meal there. And then the third night, I have to say, one of the things about these short cruises is they really try to give you as much as possible in those 3 days. And so this is a 7-night cruise and, entertainment on Royal Caribbean, they have all kinds of entertainment. Well, we didn't really get a chance to see any of it until night 3. They did offer it, but we just didn't, it just didn't line up right. And so on night 3, I was like, well, I guess I'm just going to eat on the run because I need to see all these shows. So we saw the ice show, and then we saw the Aquadome preview that wasn't quite ready for prime time yet, and then The Wizard of Oz. So we
That's a lot.
We crammed in a lot, yeah. And so I basically was, and also I had to dominate at musical theater, Name That Tune, in between all of that. So I was basically just shoving pizza and snacks in my mouth along the way. Everything was quite good, though. I have no complaints. So I do love a good Sorrento's pizza slice or five. So I was not sad about it. And I was going to try and run by the buffet, but there was just too much to do. So took one for the team.
Can you talk about how the Aquadome thing is different on this ship?
Well, first of all, it's inside. And then the seating is sort of the same, but there's a waterfall. So instead of since it's inside, they can actually have a waterfall from the ceiling come down. Other than that, I mean, it's very much the same elements of the show. You get high divers and dancers and all of
that. Is it the aft of the ship or the? Okay.
Yes, I think so. I'm sorry because I did get. Is it at the front? Yeah, thank you.
Yeah.
I'm like, wait a minute. I think I'm wrong.
Yeah, because I was. looking at the pictures of the ship that has that like enclosed part in the front. So I thought that's where that was.
Yes. And it's very easy to get disoriented on this ship because it is so big and mm-hmm. the overlook is there. So in my head, I was like, oh, the overlook is looking out the back of the ship, but it isn't. That's actually looking out the front of the ship. So, you know, sort of a large observation, you know, that dome with the glass, you can look out of it as well. And then they can change it at night to have projections on it and things like that.
So does that mean that they are less likely to cancel due to weather? Or, I mean, I know if it's rough seas, they probably would have.
Yeah, rough seas, they'll still have to cancel. I think that's possible. I mean, certainly if it's raining, that won't affect it.
Right.
But if it's raining, then it's probably a storm, in which case it may affect it. Because obviously they still have to be careful of the pool and how much water it's losing and how it's sloshing.
Are there aqua theater suites, do you know?
No, but the coastal kitchen overlooks the aqua theater, the aqua dome. So you actually, if you're in a suite, and which coastal kitchen is a suite restaurant, it's a two-story coastal kitchen. The lounge is downstairs, and there is restaurant seating downstairs, and then upstairs. You actually could watch the show from there while you're eating, which is pretty cool, actually. Mm. But yeah, no other rooms are looking over, at least none that I saw are looking over. There are rooms back there that sort of play on the dome, like those sunset rooms, but I don't believe you can see the theater from those rooms.
Okay, cool.
There's just so much to talk about on this ship.
Yeah, well, and I'll say some of these other restaurants that are here, I mean, you know, I was on board with Danny, our friend Danny, and he ate at all these places, especially he stayed on for the first revenue cruise because he had a group of people on with him. And he ate his body weight and then some at Izumi. He loves the sushi there. So he can attest to that. I also, anytime I wanted to find him, if he wasn't filming the ship, he was in what's it called? It's the little restaurant off of the Aquadome Market. Which was sort of a kind of a buffet. They had like a pasta, like macaroni and cheese kind of station where you could get different kinds of macaroni and cheese. He was always eating the heroes there, and he said they were very good. And then he also got to go to Empire Supper Club, which was not actually running while we were, the show wasn't running while we were on board. So we didn't get a chance to go. That's what I most want to do. And that's a great chance to dress up. And it's an old supper club type restaurant with a jazz trio. I think it's a trio, vocalist, piano and drums, I think maybe a bass. And the music and the meal complement each other.
Oh, cool.
And that's all I know. All he would tell me was, it was fantastic. It was everything I hoped it would be. It was so well done. I would go again and again. So that gives me hope because that's the sort of concepts that I just love. Like I would go there every night if I could. It is a specialty restaurant. So good things to say about the other restaurants as well. And we did get to do little tastings, although I will admit that I didn't because I find that I overdo it on these things. So I tend not to. I don't try all the things because I regret it later. I do. You got to keep moving, you know, can't take a break. So
I want to circle back just really quick. I know we're getting short on time, but the Surfside neighborhood, can you kind of talk about, you said your cabin was in that neighborhood. So is that the back that used to be like that? Would that be the boardwalk in a
Oasis class? Yes, it replaced the boardwalk. Yes, and it still has a little bit of the feel of the boardwalk. I mean, it's still got the carousel back there, mm-hmm. But it is a play zone for kids, and that's the Ultimate Family Townhouse is back there. Opens out right to the splash area for the kids. The Mommy and Me Bar, the Pier 7, our suite, our room was at the at the aft and had the surfboard decorated. Like it was definitely Surfside themed, but we actually had an ocean view. I did get to see one of the family surfside suites that actually have a separate little area for the kids. That it's not bunk beds. It's more of a, I hesitate to call it a room even, but the it's just shaped differently. And that actually does look out over Surfside. So there are rooms that have a Surfside view. And then there are rooms that are still back there and considered to be in the Surfside neighborhood, but that have an ocean view.
Okay. And those can hold, I mean, I know I'm throwing all this at
you. Up to six. Yeah.
Okay.
Six. The cabin we were in sleeps six, although you really do want some of those people to be smaller. So Anna, a member of our team, took one for the team, and she slept on the top bunk for the first two nights. And then she took the couch for the last one because she was like, it's hot up there. It's, you only got about, 3 inches of headspace. And so she was like, nope, I surrender. I'm sleeping on the couch. But the couch folds out for two. And then there's the bunk beds, and then there's the queen size bed. So sleep six. And then in the suite that's overlooking the Surfside neighborhood, the one that we saw, it had the queen size beds. And then the room had like a double fold out couch. So that one slept four.
Okay. Cool. Exciting options.
It makes a big difference if you've got a bigger family or you have, like two small families together.
Yes. This ship is absolutely 100% designed for families. There is no doubt about it. There are some adult only areas, and there's a piano bar on board. There's a lot of things that grownups would want to do, but it is definitely a ship for kids. And, we frequently say on this podcast and all through our jobs, we say it has something for everyone, but I really do feel like this ship is really designed for families. A huge majority of the rooms are triples and quads, which is not normal for Royal Caribbean. They have gotten better about doing more rooms that are for larger parties, but in general, cruises have been designed for two people for a very long time. So it's been a gradual process. This ship is like, nope, we're going to make it for big families. And then the connecting rooms do not connect inside the room. They actually connect in a hallway. So you enter a door, and then there's a room to the right and a room to the left. And
so almost like a suite.
Suite, yes. And so some people were sort of saying that they didn't really like the idea, but to me, it gives you more floor space because it doesn't put that door inside your room, right? Mm-hmm. So, I mean, it is still inside. It leads to your room, but it isn't taking up that extra space. And then you can close off that room, that door, and open the other two doors, and you have plenty of room. And the extra little hallway is technically yours as well. So I think overall, when I'm looking at this ship, it's definitely designed for somebody in the party should have little kids. In fact, I joked, I was going to call my husband from the ship and say, we should have another kid because this ship is definitely built for kids. And he'd be like, what bar are you in?
He might divorce you.
Yeah. So, But I think too, like even the Surfside area, it's like, well, that sounds like chaos. Well, if you have little kids or if you had little kids at any point and you remember what it's like to pick up that diaper bag and go all the way back, and it's so nice to have, if you had your room right in that same area and you knew that your toddler was going to be in that splash area that whole time.
Yeah. Plus splash pad is greater than swimming pool when they're little.
Certainly. Yes. And little kids can't go in a swimming pool when they're little because of health concerns.
Right.
So yeah, it is really the elevators, all these little touches really show that Royal Caribbean has spent a lot of time listening to feedback and saying, where are the places where it makes it hard for families to cruise and how can we make that better?
That's cool.
Cool. Well, that's our show for this week. Thanks for hanging out with us. Please like our Facebook page, rate us, and be sure to tell your friends about us. You can find our previous episodes on the podcast page of OutlanderTravel.com, Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts. We would love to hear from you. On behalf of Donna, Sandy, Elizabeth, and myself, George, thanks for joining us this week. Gotta fly.